Connor Esiason on a Patriots Monday brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. And by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning. Things are not going well here in New York this morning, so I know that the Patriots got beat over in London, but I mean, I got to deal with three losing teams, the Mets, the Yankees, the Mets, the Jets, and the Giants got slaughtered yesterday.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about the Yankees, so let's start there, and we really don't want to talk about what happened in London yesterday, but you picked the word. Pathetic, embarrassing, unprecedented, S-show, like, you pick it, Boomer.
In relation to who?
Our New England Patriots.
You know what? I think there's two ends of the spectrum. There's the Jets, who are all in for this year, spending a lot of money, bringing Aaron Rodgers here, bringing Davante Adams here, Hassan Reddick supposedly coming back today. And what is the future? What is the immediate future? I don't know, because they just got hammered by the Steelers. And I don't even know what the future for the next 10 weeks is going to be. But, you know, for the Patriots, I look at this team and I say, okay, it looks like they have their quarterback of the future. He looks the part. He looked the part last week. He looked a little bit better this week. He looks like he's not afraid to throw the ball down the field. He's accurate, and he looks like he's in charge. So, to me, the future is bright, because the biggest question seems to be answered by the Patriots, and that would be Drake May. And, you know, when you're 26 to 37 in an NFL game, you got two touchdowns, you don't turn the ball over, and it's your second start, that's pretty damn good. So,
is the future bright if Jerod Mayo remains your head coach?
Well, I understand that that's the big question, and he's replacing a legend, which is impossible to do. And I said in week one, I thought the players really loved him and played for him. They gave him the game ball after they beat the Bengals. And it's been nothing but downhill since then. And I think he's dealing with a flawed roster. I mean, I told you in week one that I felt like the Patriots were right there with the Panthers in terms of the roster construction, the amount of money that they spent, the trades that they made. I mean, things looked to me like they were in a total rebuilding year. And I do still firmly believe that this is that's all about rebuilding. It's all about getting Drake May, getting his feet underneath him, and allowing him to become the leader of the team moving forward. Now, I know Patriot fans don't want to hear that, but to me, this is a team that's totally in rebuild mode. They're not going to say that. They're not going to feel that way. They're going to want to win every single game. The coach is going to want to win every single game. But let's face it, they are just not a good team on paper in terms of their roster.
Never mind talent, though, but when he says after that game, this is a soft football team, that isn't that on him?
That's an indictment. It's an indictment of the players, for sure. It's an indictment of the coaching staff. And I think, you know, when you lose, you say things because you want to be on. I believe the coaches want to be honest. Like Bill Belichick would just say on to whoever, and he really wouldn't expand his thoughts. And now you have a coach that is willing to expand his thoughts, and I want honesty. I want to be able to hear what the coach really feels like after a game. And you know that's the ex-player in him too, by the way. And when you think about like Antonio Pierce out with Las Vegas, 3 weeks ago he said we have guys out here making business decisions. I don't think you'd ever hear Andy Reid say that, or John Harbaugh say that, or you know Bill Belichick would have never said anything like that. He would have kept everything in house. He would have held people accountable in front of the team, and he would have never thrown the team under the bus. So I hear ex-players who are becoming head coaches talking like they're still a part of the team as a player. And those are words that players use. You know, Aaron Rodgers last night after the game was over, like an idiot, I stayed up and watched this. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He goes, you know, I was flat at halftime. I'm like, you're flat at halftime? What does that mean? I mean, if I'm a Jet fan, I'm like, why you got to be? What are you getting ready for Pat McAfee on Tuesday? What are we doing here? And so I understand where Jerod Mayo's coming from, because I do believe there's that ex player is still in him, and he still is talking in honest terms. So I do appreciate it, but it does give you some insight as to how the team is playing and how he views the team playing.
Bomar, I think the biggest issue, and I said this a few weeks back, is like he's like Sonny from A Bronx Tale, where they're asking him, would you rather be feared or loved? And I don't know if the players fear him. I think they love him, and that's the thing that made Belichick such a great coach, is the fear level was there. And can you be a guy in this era that can just coach where guys love you, but they don't necessarily are willing to run through a brick wall for you? And I feel like Mayo's fighting that uphill battle, whether it's guys saying stuff or whether it's him saying stuff about his team in the media. I don't know if you get that same type of feeling.
I would say it's a very good point. You know, it's a really in-depth point, which is surprising coming from you, Jermaine.
I am a deep person.
I mean, you went deep into the weeds with this one, and I got to tell you, from a psychological standpoint, I'm shocked. So I don't know how really to answer that. I think it goes back to, and in correspondence to what I just said about him being an ex-player and talking like an ex-player, like Antonio Pierce is doing out in Las Vegas. I mean, these guys are still close to the players that are in age and that are playing. I know that there's a discussion about whether or not coaches could be the way they were when we played, especially when I played, because I played longer than you did ago, and where they were a little bit tougher on us and they held the hammer on us. But now with certain players making so much money, it's impossible to hold them accountable. I don't know how Jeff Ulbrich can hold Aaron Rodgers accountable for throwing interceptions, or Garrett Wilson, who thinks he's the next coming of Randy Moss, dropping passes in the midst of a game and changing momentum. I don't know how these coaches, these ex-players who turn into head coaches, handle that kind of stuff, because it's really, really difficult. So Gerard has got his hand, he's got his hands full. The team is losing. There is no light at the end of the tunnel for this season. I think it's going to be about the draft. It's going to be about off-season free agency. I'm assuming that Robert Kraft is going to give him a couple of years to see if he can find his footing. But I know in the middle of a season in which the team is 1-6, the only bright spot right now is the play and performance of the rookie quarterback over the last 2 weeks.
Boomer, you bring up how bad the roster is around Drake May, though. Do you think that people owe Bill Belichick an apology, who put all the blame on him for so many years?
I think Bill Belichick is having a hell of a time. I don't think anybody need to owe him anything. He got a lot of money. He got a lot of Super Bowls. We all know about his personal life. Seems like it's going in the right direction for himself. He's having a hell of a time with the media. He's on TV every time I turn it on, and he looks like he's having a hell of a lot of fun. So apologizing to him, I don't. There's no reason to. I mean, it kind of fizzled out, and it kind of got itself worn out. And, you know, it was a unique situation that lasted a very long time, which is not usually the way that it goes down in the NFL. So I know, Courtney, you know, we have feelings for Coach Belichick, but I don't think he feels like he needs an apology. And I certainly think that he'll be back next year doing something on somebody's sideline, probably, with a place that he chooses to go, which is going to be really, really interesting when we get to the end of the season.
But we still have Elliott Wolf here, who's making decisions when it comes to who are the guys that they're bringing in for this roster, and we're still in a terrible spot. So to put all the blame on Bill Belichick for the last two seasons, that he was making all the decisions of who was going to be on this roster, and that's why we're in the position we're in now, seems like maybe we had it wrong.
Yeah, I think losing does that. You know, if you have a couple of losing seasons back-to-back and you're trying to play with Cam Newton and then you're trying to play with Mac Jones, and it's like, you know, that's not Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is at the top of the spectrum. And I have to say, listening to him doing the San Francisco-Kansas City game yesterday, you know, I learned a lot. You know, he taught viewers a lot about what the hell is going on in the field. And when you listen to him talk and the way that he thinks as a quarterback and how he thought as a quarterback tells you a lot about how far away they were from that intensity when they try to replace him with those quarterbacks that they had on the roster. And maybe Drake May will be the next guy. I don't know. He looks good. He looks the part. He stands tall in the pocket. Seems like he's fearless. I just don't know if he is as dedicated. So Tom Brady raised the level of everybody on that team. Now, they had some really good players that they picked, but they also, if we really want to go down the history of the Patriots and some of the decisions they made, to me, Bill Belichick made the decision to move on from Ty Law, made the decision to move on from Richard Seymour. Like, he had a real knack to understand when it was time to trade guys at their at their highest level or let them go and replace them with other players that he thought could do the same job but didn't cost as much. So that part of it, I think Bill Belichick is about one of the greatest guys manipulating and seeing the salary cap and how to react to it when he did and how he did it.
Boomer, watching that game, and it was great. I thought Tom was superb. And I am just more impressed than ever with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The way Andy Reid diagrams those plays, I know Mahomes' stats have been not great. He's the first time in consecutive games without a touchdown pass in a very long time. But what Mahomes is doing today, is he the MVP despite the six touchdowns and eight interceptions?
I would think that Jared Goff has got to be the leader in that category right now. Jared Goff has had three incredible games in a row. He's putting up huge numbers. Detroit looks to be like one of the top teams in the NFC, and their win at Minnesota yesterday was really, really impressive. However, saying that, I believe that Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady had the same kind of DNA. They always won the fourth quarter, or it felt like they always won the fourth quarter, regardless of what they did the previous three quarters. That fourth quarter, the game was on the line. If the defense kept it close like Kansas City has been doing for the Kansas City defense has been doing for their offense, then all Patrick Mahomes has to do is make a few plays here and there, whether it be running or throwing the football. And Patrick's a winner, just like Tom was. You know, those guys know how to win football games in the heat of the moment against really good teams. And quite frankly, you know, Brock Purdy had his worst game as a pro yesterday. So I give the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs the game ball for their performance yesterday and basically lay it on the feet of Brock Purdy for playing as poorly as he did. But you're right, Patrick Mahomes is a winner in the fourth quarter, just like Tom Brady was when he was with the Patriots.
Myles Garrett, Jameis Winston, several Browns players talked about how disgusted they were with fans booing Deshaun Watson when he was on the ground with that Achilles tear. You feel the same way about that?
Well, I mean, if you take Myles Garrett's quotes a little bit further and not just put it in this one little box, yeah, I hate when fans either boo or cheer a player, depending on how you view it. A player that's hurt, regardless of what they've done off the field. But if you're going to take Myles Garrett's quotes about being a great human being off the field and then put them in that quote along with why the Browns fans are screaming at him, I don't agree with that part of it. Mm. I mean, yeah. That was a little bit over the top. I feel bad for Deshaun. He's never, ever found his footing. I don't think he ever again will find his footing. And it's just another huge mistake in a litany of mistakes for the Browns franchise. I mean, I don't care who owns the team. I don't care who's wearing that uniform. The people in that front office make the weirdest, well, the Jets are right there too, but I mean, the Browns make the weirdest decisions, and this decision to do this, what they did with Deshaun Watson, is going to come back and haunt them for years and years and years, and it may end up costing a really good coach, Kevin Stefanski, his job when it's all over said and done with.
Boomer, you talked about possible MVP, whether it's Jared Goff. I mean, Goff, I think you have to obviously put Josh Allen in there, as well as Lamar Jackson. Is there a team, if it's the Boomer Esiason power rankings, where you look and go, okay, this team is the number one team on your list, or do you feel like there's some good parity amongst those top echelon of teams?
I still believe that Baltimore is the best team in the league. We'll see them tonight against Tampa down in Tampa and Baker Mayfield. But I think they're the most difficult team to defend from a defensive standpoint because the two-headed monster of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson are playing unbelievable football. And neither one has to carry the load like they have had to do for their respective teams because now they're together. And John Harbaugh and, you know, this offense is just impossible to stop. And Zay Flowers is one of the best wide receivers in football. They know who he is. They just don't put him in the top tier. I would put him in the top tier. That's how good he is. So they have everything. Tight ends, wide receivers, a good solid offensive line, and two really good playmakers that make it really hard on the defense. So from a standpoint of trying to defend somebody, I think in the AFC it's got to be Baltimore. They look like they are unstoppable on offense right now.
Question of the week for you, Boomer Esiason, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. We talked a lot about this last week, but it's so intriguing to me, and I want your perspective on it. You brought him up earlier, why is Tom Brady a minority owner of the Raiders and not the New England Patriots?
Yeah, because I don't know. It's weird. I think Mark Davis was looking for an infusion of money and excitement around his team. I didn't realize that Tom and Mark had some sort of relationship. I don't know if this has anything to do with his Fox contract. I don't know if it has anything to do with maybe some of the people that work for Tom that have inside with Mark Davis and maybe some of the other investors within the Raiders. But, yeah, it's bizarre. The fact that he can actually do games and own a football team is also bizarre. But then again, when you win as many Super Bowls and you are the face of the league for as long as Tom was, I guess you can do it pretty much anything you want, kind of like Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Well, maybe Aaron Rodgers can buy the Jets.
Well, man, I'll tell you what, the pieces here are going to – I can't even – this morning, I mean, my head is going to have to be on a swivel.
All right, Boomer. Well, thanks for taking the time, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots fall to 1-6 on the season with a loss across the pond to Jacksonville. 32-16 was the final. Drake May completed 26 of 37 passes for 276 yards and 2 touchdowns. We'll be able to talk to Gerard Mayo during the 9 o'clock hour coming up.
One bright spot. Drake May is the one hope we have, Wiggy.
So let me ask this, because I asked it on Friday and you guys weren't on board. Uh-oh. Are we now on board with let's lose so we can have the number one overall pick?
I was talking to Breece Hill about this yesterday while we watched the game. He doesn't like that attitude at all. He was shocked by your suggestion. He doesn't like that attitude. You go out there to win every single week in life and in football.
Well, I'm not saying that the players throw it. I'm just saying
from
a fan's perspective.
No, that'll be miserable.
Well, why were we doing that last year?
I don't know. I would love to see a winning product.
But you're not going to get a winning product this year. So do you want the number one overall pick?
Or,
you have it right now.
I did some research during the last break. The Patriots and Red Sox have the same number of wins since the start of last October. One each. Sox ended the regular season on October 1st, 2023, a win over the Orioles. The Patriots beat the Bills and Josh Allen last October 22nd. One win each since the start of last year.
Which is back in the playoffs first?
Red Sox. I don't know if James will ever see the Patriots in the playoffs.
Patriots will be in the playoffs next year.
Next year?
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is spend money.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We've got plenty to spend this next
year. And then when you have the number one overall pick, the sky's the limits with all the stuff you can do.
Right. Monday Night Football will see the Chargers taking on the Cardinals in Arizona and the Ravens taking on the Bucks. The Dodgers are headed to the World Series to take on the Yankees after a 10-5 win over the Mets in Game 6 of the NLCS. The World Series will kick off on Friday. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Just like you brought the Miami weather back home. 54 degrees and sunny, afternoon high approaching 80.
All right, we will get to Courtney in today's news next, and then Gerard Mayo will join us here at Gillette Stadium during the 9 o'clock hour. My guess is around 9:20, 9:25 on today's show.
It's time for...
But Arnold Palmer was all man, and I say that in all due respect to women, and I love women. This is a guy that was all man.
The news.
And I refuse to say it, but when... He took showers with the other pros. They came out of there. They said, oh, my God.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Why do we have to be nude, though?
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health. With 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up?
We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. That means Gerard Mayo will join us in about a little less than an hour or so, around 9:20. But Courtney has today's news.
And we're going to start with the ultimate example of right place, right time, because two fishermen rescued a guy off Nantucket on Saturday when they were out to fish and found a fellow fisherman on a capsized boat.
Ooh.
Mitch has the video of this for those that are watching right now. They found the guy without a life vest, and the boat was quickly sinking. I mean, temperatures in the water off Nantucket,
50s.
If that had gone under without a life vest, who knows what would have happened to this poor guy. They were able to call the Coast Guard and were able to save the guy. Here's one of the two heroes, Nick Whitbeck, on BZ.
And then I sort of noticed something in the distance about a half mile away. You know, originally I sort of thought it was like, you know, dead whale or something like that. And then obviously, you know, then realized and asked Nick, I'm like, hey, I think there's a guy waving on top of that.
Guy is lucky they came along.
So wow. Lucky.
They call this the anti-Wiggy.
It's a small boat right there.
Yeah. But he said that the poor guy was out fishing alone and a wave just completely came and took the boat over. Huh. So really scary. Very lucky. New Hampshire police are warning of a man riding around on a bike slapping random women at a park in Nashua. The man is described as a white male in his 30s, 5'11", and he wears dark clothing and a mask. We can hear from Sergeant John Sinelli on BZ.
And what he's doing is riding up behind women, and he's slapping them in various places to their head all the way down to the small of their backs. The suspect is not getting off his bike. He's not stopping to address these women. He's literally driving by and just assaulting them and then continue driving away from them.
Yeah, somebody needs to hide in the woods and slap him when he goes when he goes riding by.
Throw the branch right in the tires.
My God, what is wrong with people?
Huh? Yeah, it seems like the new. Remember in New York over the summer, there were a bunch of women getting punched in the face randomly. Very similar.
New Hampshire though, he slapped the wrong one. He might he might get like three holes in the back.
A home in Middleborough has been condemned after 27 animals were found in poor condition. Seems like a big hoarding situation. The animals were found in the basement in desperate need of medical attention. We can hear from Animal Control Officer Kevin Rassiet on BZ.
So they were in cages and dog kennels with urine and feces inside the kennels, without food, without water. Some were emaciated.
Jeez,
that's awful.
Look at them.
That's horrible.
Uplifting news. I got an email again over the weekend from Great Dog Rescue New England News that they keep getting donations.
Oh, that's great.
In honor of Pudge.
We will have a new Pudge's pal in the studio with us this Friday.
I can't wait.
So another dog that is hoping you can give them a forever home.
And if you don't want a dog or can't care for it, bring it to a place that can.
Yes.
That's it. It ain't that hard.
Nope.
Do the same thing with the kids.
Right.
We heard a little bit from Donald Trump in the news open, but he worked at a McDonald's in Pennsylvania yesterday before holding an impromptu press conference through the McDonald's drive-thru window.
Oh, excellent.
He was taught how to make fries, how to use the fry-a-later. Here's a bit from Trump.
I like every ounce of it, everything. But I do like the French fries where I'll be working. I listened to Kamala. She said it was so hot. It was so hot. It was such a tough job. This is fun. I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll get her some fries. You're right. That might be. I'll give her some McDonald's. I'll get her a McDonald's hamburger. No, it is her birthday. That is true, right? Happy birthday, Kamala.
McDonald's.
Great. I'm seeing great reviews of the new Chicken Mac.
Ugh.
Have you tried the new Chicken Big Mac?
I saw the commercial.
Looks good. I haven't tried it, but looks good.
Never try that.
My favorite part of this story, though, was the people online on social media going nuts because the people that went to the window were pre-staged as if, given the current political climate, they would announce that the former president is at a McDonald's and allow randos to go to the window.
Well, they must have been like checked out, but they didn't hire people to go there.
No. Brian Stelter tweeted, for security reasons, Trump's McDonald's visit was carefully staged ahead of time. With drive-through customers selected and screened by Secret Service.
Yeah.
You morons. You know whenever a president lands or a candidate lands in a new city?
Yeah.
They go on a tarmac, and there's these waving people.
Yeah.
All of those people are pre-screened.
When Ben Affleck goes to Dunkin' Donuts to shoot a commercial, those people are pre-screened. Like what are we talking about?
Are we so
those
dumb?
Are called extras. We keep them far away from my French fries.
Yeah. God, people
it's Kamala's
stupid.
Birthday.
There is some concern over the fake spider web decorations set up for Halloween in certain neighborhoods. You see those? I actually think that the Halloween decorations, phenomenal this year if you go into suburbia. Serbia.
And Southie, they've been put well done around.
Yeah, but what I really like is the oversized skeletons that look like they're climbing out of the ground. Like it's just the top half of a skeleton. But people are worried that these fake spider webs are catching different types of insects, getting birds stuck in them, etc. And so they're calling for people to take them down.
Well, you're a dumb insect if you get caught in a fake spider web.
Well, I mean, they look pretty real.
I'm no dummy.
So they're worried about. I mean, don't we need less insects?
Right. That's what I would think.
I mean, I understand the food chain and the way that works. It starts with the mosquitoes or whatever, but I mean, less insects is probably a good thing.
They're saying a lot of bees are getting stuck. The bees really are important.
They are.
Because if the bees go away, we all go away.
Right.
All right.
Something's up in the ocean.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I do love when they get elaborate with the Halloween stuff and they do things outside.
Well, you love Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see the one? I think they had like a Diddy thing and like inside a cage, him and R. Kelly.
Yeah, kind of too soon on that.
I think the Diddy thing is you can do that.
Seems like too soon.
No. But a lot of people will be dressing up like baby oil, guaranteed.
You think so?
Oh, God.
On a very different point, the Back Bay also by James's very normal school. The places there, they have like on Comm Ave down there, they have like unbelievable intricate Halloween decor. It's awesome.
Yeah. People love Halloween.
I hope that whenever I have a house one day that I'm in a neighborhood where I get a lot of trick-or-treaters. Yeah. Like, I would love to hand out candy and do that whole thing.
Well, if you go to Newton like you want to do, I bet there's plenty of good Halloween trick-or-treaters in that type of neighborhood.
Yeah. Thieves that hit a shoe store in Cincinnati stole over 100 right shoes only.
Mm.
They went through and only stole the right side of the shoe.
Right. Why did they do that?
Very confusing.
Weird.
Nobody understands it. It seems like it's a mystery. We can hear from the owner of Soul Bros Shoe Store, Hunter Eren, talking about the break-in.
We probably had between 60 to 80 pairs of used on here, roughly. I'm going to just close. Like, literally, I was done with it. Like, after this break-in, I was like, I'm done. I just want to close. It seems that, you know, that they might have been drunk and just came in here on a whim, but I really don't know. Realized that they took almost every other shoe to a lot of the pairs that were on the wall.
You have a sense of forgiveness for these people.
I've been moving closer, you know, to God, and could be mad every day, and I'm still upset, but I don't want to carry more hate in my heart.
That is a rival shoe store that did that.
Good point.
Because you can't, once you steal, you have those other shoes, they're worthless.
Right.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
And you don't want to sell them on the street because you might get back to you.
Right.
Wow, rival shoe store. That's shoe store on shoe store crime.
Wow. Yes. All right. Yes. And we're going to end with some science news. Science is saying really good-looking guys tend to be more misogynistic. The new study of young men in the UK, it revealed that those who see themselves as either the most or the least handsome are the most misogynistic, more so than people that see themselves middle of the road. Oh. I don't really see this a lot with very handsome men. I always see it with the uggos.
Yeah.
The uggos are the most misogynistic.
Huh. So you're better off being middle of the road attractive.
That's what science is saying. Yes,
and women should choose middle of the road attractive if they want a nice guy.
That's what science is saying.
Huh? Okay.
Mm. And women ain't choosing no middle of the road guy.
Well,
they want a good looking brother or good looking dude.
It sounds like they will learn their lesson then.
I think very handsome men are usually very kind. Like, I actually think that it's more men that are very self-conscious and have low self-esteem that end up being the worst to women.
Huh. Well, science would say different.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's the news. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
We are at Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined by Gerard Mayo coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, your thoughts on where this team is now and what? Will they win another football game this season? Wiggy doesn't want them to win.
Yeah, they're the get-right team on everybody's schedule. Who do you think they beat? We all thought they were going to beat Jacksonville, and Jacksonville basically curb-stomped them, who, looking at their schedule, I don't have confidence in anybody that they play.
I mean, the Jets are kind of in a, as Boomer said, in a bit of a free fall.
Right, but do you think the Pats are going to beat the Jets? I mean, they can't beat Jacksonville.
I don't know if they beat Rivers this weekend. Like, they suck.
Right.
God, they suck.
And if they're checked out or if they're soft or whatever
it is. And what do you do next? Like, let's say this weekend they lose. Mm-hmm. What's another adjective that's more insulting than soft that Mayo could use next week?
Yeah, right. I told
like
you.
They quit?
They might. That might be the next thing. But I told you, as us as fans, we should be embracing it for the number one overall pick, because now we know, do we want to
I don't want to give them that out. Greg, I would say this. There was an interesting quote in Chris Mason's piece in Mass Live that was delivered by Robert Kraft Saturday in a pub in London. And he also ventured back to what Kraft said in March.
Yeah.
And the ownership, as usual, has been all over the map.
Well, why don't we get to that next?
Cool.
All right, we'll do that next from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Time, congratulations to your guy in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, finally. Biggie brought that up earlier.
Yeah, I was stoked to find that out. I'm happy for my guy Dave. That's awesome.
Okay.
Can I just give a brief critique as a Dave Matthews fan?
Yes.
Given the context of today, should I be choosing a Dave Matthews song, I might have gone with Tripping Billies.
Fair.
See, I feel like the mood is gray, though. Like, feel like we're at Gillette Stadium, and it's, unfortunately, the New England, the general vibe is gray.
Right, but they're tripping without their Billy.
I mean, the vibe, Elliot Wolf told us in February that the vibe was going to be less hard-ass than it was previously around here. And
so he must be mad at his coach for calling the team soft, right?
Maybe he is. That's Chime, that is the best Dave song. I mean,
I know it's your favorite. That's why I played it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk with Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots, next hour. I would assume around 9:20 or so. This is Tom. Tom, good morning.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, what's up?
Great show. You're all wonderful.
Thank you.
I want to do a shout-out to Odyssey because I drive early in the morning, and like this morning I was in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and I couldn't listen to you guys unless I had Odyssey, so thank
you. Glad you downloaded the app. It only takes a minute. Download it, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen to us from anywhere like Tom does. Thank you, Tom.
So the point I wanted to make was yesterday, listening to the game, there was a former player who made a great point. He was actually upset because when the Pats come out of halftime into the third quarter to walk on the field, he said at least 75% of them were listless, uninspired, just walking, not fired up. And, you know, you can blame the players, but doesn't that go back to the coaching and especially the head coach? If they're walking out of, if he observed that he's never seen it like that before, that they were that, uninspired walking back onto the field.
You put that on Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, because I think maybe at halftime it's not so much the rah-rah speech, but it is more like body language is key. You know, if you're coming out and you don't look like you have that energy or that enthusiasm. I mean, at that point in time, what was it, 20?
They're down 12, I think.
22 to 10, right?
Yep.
So that you're still in the game, show some energy, even if you are disappointed on how the first half went, there has to be something that says, hey, or there has to be guys in that locker room, maybe it's not the coach, but there has to be guys in that locker room that, rally the team and, say, hey, we got to stop this. And, whatever that speech is in that moment to get guys to come out with an
but
energy.
But do they have those guys on this team?
I don't think so, personally.
I mean, there's no Devin McCourty. There's no Matthew Slater's coaching, but
David Andrews is hurt.
There's an issue for me when you have guys publicly saying that the players need to check their egos.
All right.
Which you had yesterday. Who on this team currently is justified in having a giant ego?
Nobody, but that's what I think I misunderstood is you're watching the players. They're not good enough. They need everybody to do their job and not make a single mistake for them to have a chance to be successful.
Yes.
Their margin of error is razor thin. And so when you start losing, it snowballs because nobody wants to look in a mirror. And so it's always somebody else's fault. And it doesn't bleed to the players. But I just think the way in which the organization has conducted itself has made everybody's job more difficult when their job is to make it easier.
But Greg is right, though. No matter how good, talented you are as a football team, there has to be guys in that locker room that have that.
But you can't have that when you have Jalen Polk still playing when he's making an ass of himself.
No, but that's Greg's point. There's nobody in that locker room to grab Jalen Polk and say, hey, listen, man, shut the F up and catch the damn football.
In fact, when it comes to the head coach, it's the opposite.
Right.
His strategy is, as he said on this show, is to say, I don't tell anybody what to say. Jalen Polk wants to go to Instagram and say, peace out, brah. Mm-hmm. Then I'm fine with him saying peace out, bro.
When you see losing teams, right? You see losing teams.
We've seen a lot of them.
At least at one point in the season, there is somebody on the sidelines getting the offense or defense in the group. And, you know.
Bill used to do that.
No,
Bill used to stop mid-game and go over and coach the defense up.
Right. I'm not talking about coaching.
No, but does Gerard Mayo do that?
No, but I'm not necessarily.
He puts it on the player, though.
I'm not even necessarily talking about coaching. I'm talking about a player who grabs them in a circle and you see them yelling adamant. Yeah. And, like, even bad teams, you'll have that situation where it's one guy where people look at. Like, because players.
But maybe Mayo's filling that role.
But my point is it does not work that way because players don't look at it as a coach.
But what else would you do if you have nobody on the team doing that?
Wiggy always talked about he was scared of other players. Like, you were scared to let down other players. We don't have that right now. And that's why even if you go back to Christian Barmore and that whole situation, how Gerard said he had his captains go in and talk to the guys and set them straight. Like, do you really think that Jelani Tavai or Jacoby Brissett going in and saying, like, be a man is going to scare anybody straight?
But if you don't have a player to be a leader, then what else can Gerard Mayo do but to have to fill that void?
No, I know that I get what you're saying, Curtis. But it's hard sometimes for the coach to fill that void because I told you, the players and the coach, he looks at him, at the coach, at like, this is my boss. Right? And we talked about the, you know, being friends with your boss doesn't work.
I don't think they look at him like the boss. Like, they're not afraid of him.
No. I'm not saying they're afraid of him, but they look at him as the boss. So when the boss yells, sometimes it falls on deaf ears. But if a player, let's say Kyle Duggar, and I'm just using his name because it comes to the top of my head. If he grabs the team, the defense, on the sidelines, and he starts yelling and screaming and say, we need to do this. You look at him a lot different than you would look at the coach trying to do that.
We were going to get to
Robert
Kraft.
So he was at a loaded bar, not the participants, but the actual bar was crowded in London, and he said, this is unbelievable. This is from Chris Mason of Mass Live. Robert Kraft said, this is unbelievable. I came in here, and I got inspired, and I've got to carry this to the locker room tomorrow. I'll tell you, there's nothing more important to our family than winning football games. And Chris Mason does a great job of resurfacing this quote from the owners' meetings in March of this past year, not 5 years ago. Kraft said, and I quote, my hope and expectations are to make the playoffs. That's something realistically, we have a new leadership team. We're going to have a lot of young players. A lot can happen. We might struggle, but the good news is we're running any business. We try to figure it out, and we have the right variables in place. I really hope we have a good young team. This team is so far away from winning a playoff game, and Robert Kraft every day is on a different network or at a different place talking differently about what he expects from this organization. And the vacuum that was established in the departure of Bill Belichick has been replaced by people who know far less about football and are far more into today's newspaper instead of putting in the work now to get a good team next year. Yeah. They're trying to fix it quickly without actually putting in any money behind the product.
But they have to do that in the offseason and craft.
But why didn't they do it this past one?
Listen, you're asking the question that I wish I had the answer
to. He said that in March. That's before free agency.
Right,
why
but I think the only thing I can surmise from what they did in the offseason and from what they say is they don't feel like there were good enough free agents on worth spending money on, right? We hear them all the time. We hear Mayo talking about all the time. The thing now becomes, and the fact that if they continue to lose, I feel like this puts Robert's feet to the fire where he has no choice but to make sure he's really spending money this offseason.
All right, it's a Patriots Monday, and we are interested what you think, and you can call 617-779-7937. You can text with your comment on the Subaru of New England text line, and Gerard Mayo will join us coming up this next hour at about 9:20.